Mr. Chairman, Ranking Member Feinstein, and members of the committee, my name is Laura Wolk, and I am a former student and mentee of Judge Amy Coney Barrett. In part because of her unwavering support, I am the first blind woman to serve as a law clerk on the Supreme Court of the United States. It is now my immense privilege to appear before you in support of Judge Barrett's nomination to that same great institution. You have heard over the past few days about Judge Barrett's judicial qualities, which are beyond reproach. But should you confirm Amy Barrett, the country will receive something far greater than simply an unparalleled legal mind. It will gain the service of one of the kindest individuals I have ever known. Her brilliance is matched only by her compassion, and her integrity is unassailable. I am not speaking in mere abstractions here. Rather, I have experienced these characteristics firsthand with life-changing results. Because I am completely blind, I rely heavily on assistive technology to compete on a level playing field with my sighted peers. Before arriving at Notre Dame Law School in 2013, I worked hard to ensure that the university would purchase backup copies of the technology I use. But upon arrival, I discovered that bureaucratic glitches left me without access to that technology. And on cue, my personal laptop immediately began to fail. Overnight, I found myself struggling to keep up in class, falling increasingly behind with each passing hour. I needed help, and I needed it fast. I'd been Judge Barrett's student only for a few weeks, but her graciousness and warmth gave me hope that she could provide me with that assistance. Even so, I maintained relatively low expectations. Based on my past experience, I assumed that Judge Barrett would simply direct me to the proper bureaucratic channels, which could still take weeks, if not longer, to navigate. But Judge Barrett did something altogether different. She silently listened with deep attention as I explained my situation, giving me the freedom to let down my guard and come apart. As a disabled person, I am accustomed to acting as if I have everything under control, when in reality the world feels like it is spinning out from under me. But in front of Judge Barrett, I was able to let the mask slip and indeed to disappear completely. I poured out all my concerns, not just about technology and my worries about failing classes, but all the burdens I currently carried as a disabled woman navigating a brand new environment. When I finished, Judge Barrett leaned forward and looked at me intently. "Laura," she said, with the same measured conviction that we have seen displayed throughout her entire nomination process, "this is no longer your problem, it's my problem." I can't capture adequately the relief that washed over me at her words. Her offer was rare enough in its own right, but even when such offers are extended, many unfortunately do not follow through. It's hard to trust an offer of assistance, no matter how desperately it is needed or earnestly it is given. Not so with Judge Barrett. Anyone who has interacted with her knows that she is a woman of her word. She means what she says, and she says what she means. When she promised to advocate for me, she commanded my trust. To this day, I do not know what Judge Barrett did to solve my problem, itself a testament to her humility. All I know is that the technology arrived promptly, which in turn allowed me to excel and to place me in a position that would eventually allow me to apply for a clerkship on the Supreme Court. This encounter was the first in which Judge Barrett demonstrated the depth of her generous spirit, but it was far from the last. She has remained a constant source of strength, encouragement, and solace as I have pursued professional and personal opportunities with no roadmap to guide me. Through her mentorship, she has given me a gift of immeasurable value, the ability to live an abundant life with the potential to break down barriers so that I can leave this world a better place than I found it. Though I am here today to share with you my story, the very best aspect of that story is that it is hardly unique. Those who have had the benefit of knowing Amy Coney Barrett understand that she possesses a boundless font of energy and a radical sense of love that she is ever ready to pour out upon those lucky enough to call her teacher, boss, family, and friend. Judge Barrett will serve this country with distinction, not only because of her intellectual prowess, but also because of her ability to treat everyone as an equal, deserving of complete respect. As a beneficiary of both of these qualities, I urge you to confirm Judge Amy Coney Barrett to the Supreme Court of the United States. Thank you.
Greetings and blessings, faithful followers of TeamBBT.org. Well, just in case you were off the grid this week and missed the fireworks in Washington, that was Judge Amy Coney Barrett, or actually someone who is testifying on her behalf, who is, of course, being considered for the Supreme Court seat to replace the late Ruth Bader Ginsburg. Wow. What an honor to witness history playing out in real time. But more importantly, I believe it is a battle over the very soul of our nation. Indeed, I planned to share her opening statement, which was a little bit longer and very good, but instead I chose this clip simply because I believe it speaks volumes about Judge Amy Coney Barrett, in my humble opinion, of course. Plus, A, you won't ever see it in the mainstream media. Nope. And B, I pray that it brings you blessed hope that all is not lost yet for our country. Amen. So, suffice to say, we need to stand on the rock-solid justice, which just happens to be the title of our study today, found in the book of Matthew, in the 7th chapter. So, whomever has holding that magic clicker, change that slide. And the slide that you should see, in fact, will have the scripture of the day on it, entitled The Two Foundations, which reads, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them may be compared to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and slammed against that house. And yet, it did not fall, for it had been founded on the rock." Verse 26, "Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and slammed against that house, and it fell. And great was its fall." Wow, you know, some passages in the Bible require a lot more interpretation, but I think this one's pretty clear. So whether it's our country or whether it's in our personal lives, peeps, we got to build on the rock, or we are going to get swept away indeed. So let's take a little closer look at what rock solid justice is all about, shall we? This will require a brief, yet I pray enlightening, little civics class refresher on the U.S. Constitution, shall we? All right, let me readjust. And oh, holder of the clicker, if you would be so kind, let us change that slide. And we're going to look closer at Judge Amy Coney Barrett. Judge Amy Coney Barrett is what is called an originalist. That simply means that she reaches her decisions based on what she believes the authors of the Constitution meant it to mean at the time that they wrote it. What has happened over the years, however, is that the court has become more activist, with judges who are more liberal in their interpretations, and we have used the Supreme Court to bypass the legislative branch to achieve some rather stunning quote-unquote victories in the form of rights, quote-unquote rights, because they're simply not specified in the Constitution, which is now the law of the land. So, why am I talking about this in a Bible study class? Simply this: Bible illiteracy, just like civics illiteracy, will cause us to continue our dangerous drift away from the solid rock of God's Word until our republic becomes unrecognizable from what our founders envisioned. That's a scary thought. But I do believe the happenings of this past week have really given new hope. And here's what our takeaway is for today, if you would. Last but not least, O holder of the clicker, change that slide. And the slide that you should be seeing is the smiling face of Amy Coney Barrett. Oh, precious peeps, if we build our lives on anything but the solid rock of the Word of God, we are doomed. We're doomed. So take a cue from Amy Coney Barrett, who stayed cool, calm, and collected throughout her, let's say, inquisition. It was more like an interrogation than a confirmation, in my humble opinion. In fact, all she had with her for days and hours on end, sitting there at a desk by herself with a notepad, in fact, all she had with her was a blank notepad and a pen, which she never used, nor did she need it. It was all in her heart and in her mind already. Just needed to be accessed. Oh my goodness. This should bring us all great hope. I can only believe that this is simply a gentle reminder that if we choose the rock-solid justice of God, we are protected even in the midst of our most contentious challenges. Amen. And I'm thinking of the hymn. Reminded of the hymn, and the refrain is there. My hope is built on nothing less. I know that we have sung it before in this very church. I don't know if people sing it anymore, but they should be singing it. My hope is built on nothing less is a Christian hymn written by Edward Mote, a pastor at Rehoboth Baptist Church in Horsham, West Sussex, England. Mote wrote around 100 hymns, this one, which he wrote in 1834, being amongst the best known of the ones that he had written. The refrain of "My hope is built on nothing less" refers to the parable of the wise and foolish builders, which we just read, and builds around the metaphor of Christ as a rock with a firm basis in Scripture, also found in 1 Corinthians 10:4. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. Oh, Heavenly Father, just as we wrap up with a prayer, we are so hopeful that there is yet chance for our country to return to the solid rock. You have given us great hope in the form of this humble judge that we could maybe stay the disintegration of our republic and even return to a country that is solidly grounded on your rock-solid justice. So, Heavenly Father, as we press forward toward an election, I simply pray for your wisdom and your guidance. I pray for your peace to be over the land. There seems to be just a lot of distraction and a lot of angst and a lot of anger, and none of that is coming from you. So, Lord, we praise you. We thank you for that that hope, our only hope, and that we build our hope on nothing less than Christ, the solid rock. We praise you and we thank you for that, Lord. In the holy name of Christ Jesus, your Son and our Savior, amen.